Thank you all for coming. Week 2 of the Selichot lecture. Believe it or not, this is the 20th annual year that the community has been doing these lectures. So thank you all for joining us for week 2. Once again, thank you to our sponsor tonight, Mr. Mikey Nassimi, the Elunishmat Moshe Ben Yosef. If you want to sponsor in the future weeks, you can reach out to myself or Ari Olivian. And without any further delay, Rabbi Elbas,
Mechavah. Thank you, Mikey. Shavua Tov, everybody. Shavua Tov. First of all, I want to thank you for being here. It's late, and it's not easy, and I appreciate you coming out. Hopefully, I'll try to make it worth your while. I want to thank my dear friend, Rabbi Daniel Levy, who covered for me last week. I think they, I saw this, the flyer they made last week. They, you know, whoever made it has to change it. Zelo katvu kacha bezinzul. Tzchem lichtov, kvot shetem chacham, tzaddik. Yeah. So, bekitzur toda rabba. Anyway, so we are just under 3 weeks away from what I think everybody at this point realizes is the most significant high holiday season that we will probably encounter in our lives on many, many, many different levels. And everybody understands that. This year, you know, in retrospect and even looking forward, we understand that there are so many things on the line and, you know, just needless to say, health, safety and security, you know, religious freedoms, things that are omdim berumo shel olam, things that are of paramount importance. And all of these things, we know, the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says that on Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'e olam ovrim lefanav kivne maron. All of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations pass before him like sheep on a cliff. When a shepherd's taking a sheep on the cliff and it's very narrow, they can only go one by one. There's no public, there's no collective judgment on Rosh Hashanah. There is, in terms of a national level, but on the other hand, there is also the very individually based levels of judgment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. Rabotai, I said this to the, we're just Baruch Hashem, 1 week out of the very successful, Hashem Yisrael, Shtabach Shemo, the SBM Summer Kollel. And one of the very last things that I shared with the guys before we adjourned for the summer, was that if you look back at the past 6 months, everything that's been going on in the world, you know, you think back to all of the illness and death and destruction and suffering and heartache that has befallen the world in the past 6 months, you know when all of that and more was decreed? That was last Rosh Hashanah. Think about it for a second. It's a very humbling and frightening thought. Rewind almost 1 year back to last year's Rosh Hashanah. You're sitting in shul, wherever you were, and praying, you know, you're singing all the songs and hearing the shofar and then going home to eat. And everybody at the end of the day is content. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently had other plans for the year Tafshin Pei. Had other plans for the year 2020. Hindsight is always 2020. No pun intended, Rabotai. That's the way it works. One of the main themes of Rosh Hashanah, especially this year, is that we know that the tefillah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is different than the rest of the year. Musaf throughout the rest of the year always has only 7 berachot. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is how many? 9. Rosh Hashanah is a different Musaf. It's even holier. It's on a higher level, according to the Kabbalah, than even that of Yom Kippur. In Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we add 2 other brachot, but we kind of change the format of the brachot as well. The 3 recurring themes in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is Malchuyot, Zichronot, Veshofarot. First thing we say is Malchuyot, kingdom. The bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, Ve'yom HaZikaron. The very first thing that we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we even open our mouths. The Gemara says, Imru lefanai malchuyot kedei shetamlichuni alechem. First declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship, and then we'll talk. Which means that before the judgment even begins, we have to realize who's judging us. Just like very much on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah all the way at the end of Masechet Yoma says, Ashrehem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitaharim umi metaher etchem, avichem shebashamayim. In order for a person to be purified on Yom Kippur, he first has to realize who is purifying him. The same really applies to Rosh Hashanah, in that in order for a person to be adequately judged on Rosh Hashanah, he has to know who's judging him. And that is accomplished by the bracha of Malchuyot, kingdom. We find throughout the teaching of Chazal, our sages teach us that in order to be successful, in order to be found innocent and be granted another year of life on Rosh Hashanah, find many segulot, many things that are auspicious to reach that end. One of the things, there is a pasuk in Tehillim, Mishamayim Mishma'at Adin Eretz Yare'a V'Shaka'ata, which means, from heavens, thank you. From the heavens, you have sounded your judgment. The land has feared, and then has fallen still. The great Yismach Yisrael, the Admor of Alexander, one of the great Hasidic rabbis, he says, a very beautiful pshat over here, he says, Eretz Yare'a V'Shaka'ata, what does it mean that the land fears and trembles and then falls silent? He explains that one of the biggest segulot a person can bring upon himself before the Yom HaDin is exactly that, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is afraid. People sometimes look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gracious father. And you know what? They're right. But sometimes they look at him only as a gracious father, as opposed to being a fusion of a gracious father and a demanding king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both. We know one of the texts that are specific to the 10 days of repentance, especially Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, we've been saying it, unfortunately, we've had to say it for a prolonged period this year too. What do we say? Avinu Malkeinu, Shem Yirachem V'Yatzil. Anytime there's a tzara in Am Yisrael, we say Avinu Malkeinu. And there's a whole list of prayers over there. Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha Rechem Aleinu. It's always preceded by the words Avinu Malkeinu. Forget not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gracious father, a loving father, but also a demanding and exacting king. And one without the other is a grave mistake. There's Ahavat Hashem, there's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's also Yirat Hashem, fear and reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes people get it wrong. They think fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at him like you always have to walk around like he might hurt you. That's not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He can do whatever he wants. But fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really only a byproduct of that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ahavat Hashem brings about Yirat Hashem. It's not a fear per se, but it's more of a reverence. Just like we find, Lehavdin, we find in the Torah there's a mitzvah of kibud avvaim. There's a mitzvah to honor one's parents, respect one's parents. And there's also a mitzvah, ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, to fear one's parents. Does that mean really that a person should fear being harmed by one's parents? That's not what it means. It's a reference to reverence. Revere them. You hold them in such an exalted position that you have feelings of awe for them. That is how a person should view HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A combination of rachmanut, love, and awe. When a person realizes that, when a person fears and reveres HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in and of itself serves as a segula for Yom HaDin. That serves, Hashem says, wow, you believe that I can truly judge you? You feel that your life hangs in the balance? You feel that Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, this is going to determine what, you know, path your year is going to take? Hashem says, you're my man. You're my woman. This is the way it's supposed to be. That in and of itself, realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate judge, is a segula for Yom HaDin. Unfortunately though, in the days preceding the days of awe, the high holidays, that fear, that reverence is palpable, which is unbelievable. That's a tremendous thing. You ask people, you walk around, Jews during Chodesh Elul, they act differently. Nobody can really explain it, but there's a feeling in the air. There's that aura that this is the month of mercy and forgiveness, Chodesh Rachamim VeHaSelichot, and everybody feels the impending day of judgment. It's much harder to sin during Chodesh Elul. Ask any Jew. Whereas during the rest of the year, people sin. During Chodesh Elul, people still sin, but maybe it becomes a drop more difficult. Because a person realizes, we're getting close. My life depends on it. Because of that fear, people tend to make a mistake, which is that they feel to themselves, let's get these days of awe, let's get these high holidays over with. People wait already for Motza'ei Yom Kippur. It's a countdown until Motza'ei Yom Kippur, because in their minds, what happens in Motza'ei Yom Kippur? Now it's party time. Right after Motza'ei Yom Kippur, you go, you build your sukkah, and then you go buy your lulavim, ve'etrogim, ve'zen, and Sukkot is a happy time. People would much rather fast forward throughout the fearful time of year, which is the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and get to party time, get to v'samachta v'chagecha. And that's a grave mistake. I'll explain to you why. The days of awe are days of fear and trepidation. Make no mistake about it. But it's also the most opportune time during the year for a person to connect on the most intimate level with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabotai, the most intimate relationship that you can find among human beings is that of a husband and wife. That's the highest. Doesn't get past that. There's many different hints and acronyms for Chodesh Elul in the scriptures. The most famous of which is in Shir HaShirim. Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. If you look at Shir HaShirim, Rashi HaKadosh, in his preface to Shir HaShirim, quotes the Midrash that says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kol HaKetuvim Kodesh, V'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kadashim. All of the scriptures are holy, but the holiest of all is Shir HaShirim. To a layman, person who doesn't understand much, you look at Shir HaShirim very superficially, and if you don't understand what's going on, what does it look like? Looks like a very prolonged, drawn-out love letter. That's all between husband and wife. And if you don't understand much, you can say, what's going on here? It looks pretty vulgar. There are certain things in Shir HaShirim that, Rashi HaKadosh veers from his regular way of explaining the entire Tanakh, which is Al Derech HaPshat. He writes himself at the beginning of Shir HaShirim, the only one of the scriptures of the entire 24 books of Tanakh that cannot be explained on a simple, superficial level and can only be explained on an esoteric and mystical level is Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. You know why? Because the entire Sefer looks like a love letter between husband and wife. It looks like, from the outside, Chalila, a little bit vulgar. You know why? Because Hashem tells Am Yisrael, it's a mashal, it's a parable to understand the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no other way for me to impart my feelings of love to you, Am Yisrael, then in this mashal of a husband and wife, yishakeni min nishikot piyu, kitovim dodecha miyayin, and so on and so forth, Hashem says, you won't be able to understand how much love I have for you, if not for the mishalim that I give you in Shir HaShirim. That's how much Hashem loves us. The epitome of that love comes during the month of Elul and Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So if a person thinks that it's only a frightful time, a time of fear and trepidation, that a person would like nothing more than to breeze through in order to get to the second part of Chodesh Tishri, which is the time of joy, the Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, Sha'anah Rabbah. That's a mistake. Rabotai, I'm going to give you a mashal. I heard this story, I don't remember who it was from, but one of the, you know, harshest leaders of Russia approximately 200 years ago was the wicked Tsar Nikolai. He was known to be a very tough cookie. Anyway, so Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'Hakol Nihyeh Bidvaro. He had a very interesting minhag. He was known, he didn't really trust his advisors so much about public opinion. I don't know how much public opinion mattered in Russia too much, but for whatever it's worth, this czar used to dress up like a peasant many times, and he had a lot of changes of clothes, and he used to go hang out with the simpletons, with the townspeople, and used to like to hear for himself what people thought about him. And he did this one time, got dressed up, and this time he decided to go into a local bar. Wonderful. What kind of people do you think you're going to meet in a bar? Oh well, he went in there and he found some peasants. And he sat down next to them. He was dressed as a peasant. And at that point they were already, you know, very well-watered, let's call it. And he sits down next to them and he asks them, what would you do if you had a private audience with the Tsar, with the king? What would you do? What would you ask for? And each one in his intoxicated stupor starts saying, this guy says, you know, if I met the king, I'd ask for $1 million. And this guy says, you know, if I met the king, I'd ask him for a mansion. And each one with his, you know, thing. Finally, there was a guy in the corner, Mamash Kimat, almost passed out. And he asked him, and if you met the king, what would you ask for? And he said, you know something? You're not the king, and I haven't met the king. So how about you stop wasting my time with all sorts of obsolete questions and allow me my peace and quiet? That was the end of that. A few days later, surprisingly, each one of the people in the bar got a royal notice from the palace, accompanied by whatever they had asked for, each one got. The guy who asked for $1 million got that. The guy who asked for the house, they all got it. And the guy who asked for peace and quiet got his peace and quiet. He got nothing. A person can think, we know the Pasuk tells us in the Navi Yeshaya, Dirshu Adonai behimatze'o kira'uhu biyoto karov. Seek out Hashem when He is present. Call out to Him when He is near. The Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yudchet Amud Aleph says, Dirshu Hashem beimatzeo, elu asara yamim sheben Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. Seeking Hashem, reaching out to Hashem when He is present, refers to the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If that's the case, Rabotai, then what about the end of the Pasuk? What about Kira'uhu biyoto karov? What about calling out to Him when He's close? When does that apply? That's a reference to Chodesh Elul. If the first half of the Pasuk refers to the 10 days of repentance, the rest of the Pasuk applies to the to Chodesh Elul. So, make no mistake, the Day of Judgment is coming. But this is the month that a person can do most to connect to Hashem on the most intimate level. Because afterwards, after Chodesh Elul and Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes back up to the highest levels, to the 7 levels in heaven. And then He says, Shuvu Elai Ve'ashuvah Elechem. Then if you want to do Teshuvah, you got to search for Me. The great Rabbeinu Yaakov Krantz, Midubna, also known as the Magid Midubna, is a tremendous Gaon and Baal Musar. Most people know him as the person who was hired by the Gaon Mivilna to give him Musar. Can you imagine if the Gaon Mivilna hired you to give him Musar? What kind of Musar do you think you're giving to the Gaon? Right? But, and the Gaon Mivilna paid him money to give him Musar. That was him. He said, a mashal for the month of Elul. He was the master of mashalim. One of the most powerful tools of teaching Torah is mashal, the parable, because it hits home so much harder. He said, there was once a wealthy man, wealthy businessman, and he had a custom that at the end of the day, when he closed the shop or whatever it was, he would take all of the earnings of the day, he would count it up, put it in a wallet or a pouch or whatever it was, and he would send one of his employees to go deposit it in the bank at the end of the day. So, they did this day after day. There was a local Gannav, right? Dozd, yeah? There's a guy, is that a good? Anyway, so there's a Gannav in the city over there. After a while, he picked up on what was going on. So he said, he's trying to think of a plan, how am I going to rob this guy? The only problem was, every time he went to the bank, he was in broad daylight. He says, I'm going to rob a guy in broad daylight. You know, this isn't a democratic state. You can't get away with murder and then be out by 6 p.m. for dinner, right? It doesn't work like that. So he's thinking, how am I going to commit a crime in broad daylight? What am I going to do? So he thought to himself, he came up with a plan. Listen to his plan. He went in to a local tailor, a suit maker. He went in and he says, listen, I work for a very wealthy individual and he sent me to buy a suit. He says, okay, do you know his size? Do you know his fit? He says, I have no idea. So he says, can you bring him here? He says, no, he's very busy. So he says, listen, I can't sell you a suit, custom made, if I don't know the guy's size. So the tailor told him, go find me somebody on the street that resembles, you know, his height, his build, his size, you know, will fit him. And then more or less, it'll be your boss's size. He says, okay. He goes outside. He catches this guy, the person he wanted to rob, on the way from his boss's, from the office to the bank. And he says, sir, I need a favor. He says, what? He says, listen, I have a situation. My boss ordered a suit. I don't know his size. You, mamash, you're like the spitting image. You're my boss's, what do you call it, doppelganger? You're his stunt double? You're my boss's stunt double. Mamash, kacha, echad al echad. You're his height, his build, his weight. Can I borrow you? I want you to try on the suit so the tailor can fit him. He says, no, listen, I'm busy. I'm on my way to the bank. Don't bother me. He says, please do a mitzvah before Rosh Hashanah. He said, okay, fine. The guy goes in there, goes into the suit store, wants to try on the suit. Puts down the wallet for a second, tries on the suit. By the time the guy's trying on the suit, the Gannav had his chance. Snatched the purse, snatched the wallet, and he starts running out. As the Gannav starts running out, the guy realizes that he was duped. What does he do? Starts trying to chase him. Who blocks the door? The tailor. He says, you're not leaving my store with that suit on. He says, what are you talking about? The guy just stole my wallet. He says, I don't care about your wallet. You're wearing my suit. Take it off, and then you can go. Rabotai, that's exactly the Yetzer Hara during Chodesh Elul. As we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, he knows that Am Yisrael, or Mitorer, Am Yisrael gets a burst of chizuk, gets a feeling of wanting to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And specifically during this time, you know, the Yetzer Hara can't stand when Am Yisrael excel in levels of Avodat Hashem. That's his worst nightmare. So what does he do? Starts throwing all sorts of things at us. All sorts of things that kind of consume us. Ka'as, and ga'ava, and bad midot, and avonot. When a person does avonot and acts with midot that are not the best, that envelops the neshama. Rabotai, what do we call a Kabbalistic term for all sorts of bad midot and harmful forces are what? Klipot. Klipot are what? In Lashon HaKodesh, klipa is a shell or an outer coating. That's exactly what happens to us when a person does an avera, the neshama gets coated with a suit that's not ours. And then what? Comes Rosh Hashanah, they say, oh, now's the time, now's judgment day, now's crunch time, you want to run towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Comes the Yetzer Hara and stands between us and God and says, you're wearing my suit. You're not going anywhere. That's exactly, says the Magid Midubna, what he tries to do. That's why he told us, you know, that guy fell for it because he had no idea about the plan. When you know about Chodesh Elul, when you know that this is crunch time, you know, Rabotai, everybody gets judged in Rosh Hashanah. Jews, non-Jews, animals, Everything. Every single creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets judged on Rosh Hashanah. Without exception. But the Chesed is the only ones that know that they're getting judged is Am Yisrael. Another mashal, Lema Davar Dome, I heard this from Maran Zichrono Livracha. Maran Chacham Ovadia Yosef Zecher Tzedek Kadosh Livracha. He said, imagine that a person commits a crime and he gets caught, gets arrested. Obviously not living in New York City, but commits a crime, gets arrested, and gets thrown in a holding cell in the precinct, and then they bring him in front of the judge, and he says, you're charged with X, Y, and Z. How do you plead? Doesn't know what to say. So, guilty. Boom, 20 years in the slammer. That's one person. Then you have another perp, another perpetrator. He gets arrested for a certain crime, and they put him in jail, but the judge tells him, listen, your court case is going to be in 30 days from now. You have the right to a public defender. Can you afford a lawyer? I can't. He says, okay, we're going to appoint you a public defender. The lawyer comes, he speaks to him, he says, listen, you're indicted on the following charges. You're going to come in front of this judge. I know this judge. Okay? He has certain theories about this, about that. Say this, don't say that. Talk about your community service. Talk about all these different things. And he coaches him on for 30 days until the day of the court case comes. Who do you think has a better chance of being exonerated? Obviously the second guy. We're that guy double time. We are charged with crimes from the entire year. You better believe that this was a terrible year, not only for the world, but for Am Yisrael in particular. How many tzaddikim did we lose? How many Talmidei Chachamim? How many friends and family? How many, you know, look around. There's kim'at, not one shul that you can look around that there's not going to be an empty seat this Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. It's a very, very scary thought. You have people who lost Shem Yirachim, relatives, and rebbeim, and mentors, and guides. Shem Yirachim v'yatzim. Shem was not happy this year. 2 weeks ago, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it was early in the morning. It was before Chodesh Elul. It was at the end of Chodesh Av. And it was early in the morning. I was going to Shacharit. I came out of my house. And as I came out, I saw a rainbow. A real one. A real rainbow after the rain. Mamash keshet be'anan. I said the barakah quickly, and I turned away. Gemara says, you're not allowed to look at a rainbow too much because gazing at a rainbow is like gazing at the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's considered disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say the barakah and move on. There was a guy there, outside, also coming into Shacharit, and I realized that he had also noticed the rainbow, and he took out his phone, and he turned around, and he started selfieing with the rainbow. So, whatever. I don't want to say anything on the spot. I called him over after tefillah. I said, can I see your pictures? He says, why? He says, I saw you taking selfies with the rainbow. I says, yeah, it was beautiful and it was full. I said, ya Habibi, why are you taking pictures of a rainbow? The rainbow, the Torah says very clearly that a rainbow is a sign that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which the rainbow basically means we all should have been very dead right now. And if not for the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu promised Noach that he'd never bring a Mabul again, we'd all be dead. Cheese, right? That's basically it. I said, you have to realize a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us all sorts of notifications and signs that he's not happy with us. And we have to pick up on it. And you know how many times during the coronavirus it irked me. And Baruch Hashem, you know, I don't know about other people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity during the coronavirus to teach more Torah than I did at other times. It was unbelievable. I was on Zoom all day long. For different, you know, we taught the SBM, we taught elsewhere, mamash Torah all day long, Shtabach Shemo. And I told people, I used the opportunity to speak about times, right? The times that we're living in. Because people need chizuk. Make no mistake about it. Certain people, individuals who got up during the coronavirus and said, no, you know, don't worry, trying to give chizuk to Am Yisrael, but counterintuitively. People getting up and saying, don't worry, Hashem doesn't get angry, everything's fine, Hashem is just trying to purify, all sorts of nonsense. And trying to make it like the things that happen in the world are just happenstance. I told people, this guy was a popular speaker, I told people, lo tovelo velo tishma elav, velo tachus velo terachem alav. I told him, this guy is saying shtiyot mamash. The Rambam, in Pirekim Ilchot Ta'aniyot Alacha Aleph, writes that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends suffering to the world, any suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever sends to the world is because of Am Yisrael. When I said so, En Pur'anut Ba La'olam Ela Bishvil Yisrael. And when Am Yisrael realize that and do Teshuvah, their plight becomes better. And if they don't, and they attribute it to Keri, V'alechtem imi Keri, Af ani elech imachem b'chamat Keri. What does Keri mean? Milashon mikre. Happenstance. Just happened. Right? Just, you know. It's a virus. It escaped from some Chinese lab. It came from a bat. You know, it happens. Viruses spread. That's Amalek talking. Amalek wants you to think that it's a virus. Remember, don't be a dog. What do you mean by that? You ever take a stick and whack a dog? Not a good idea. But if you do, you know what makes a dog? If you hit a dog with a stick, who does the dog attack? The stick. The dog doesn't realize that the stick's being wielded by somebody else. Dogs attack the stick. Am Yisrael is not supposed to be dogs. Am Yisrael has to realize that everything that goes on in this world, coronavirus and otherwise, is a direct result only of Echad, Yachid, Yuchad. When they come to that realization, it dissipates all the more quickly. Rabotai, I don't know if I spoke about this before to my Tanmidim, but I want to share with you one of the most powerful lessons that I think is apropos now as we close in on what we said in the beginning is probably the most important and significant Rosh Hashanah of our lives. There's a very interesting Gemara in Masechet Tamid, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, the Gemara records a bunch of dialogues between Alexander the Great and Chachmei Yisrael. Alexander the Great was an unbelievable Chacham. He was a very wise man. Indeed, he was one of the chief disciples of whom? Aristotle. His mentor, his teacher, was Aristotle, one of the greatest philosophers to ever live. Alexander was also not far off. So he had a lot of discourses with the Chachamim. He liked to engage them. Alexander, by the way, the Gemara also says that Am Yisrael was very much makir tovat Alexander the Great for not having conquered and destroyed Eretz Yisrael. That was in the era of Shimon HaTzadik, one of the first, the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and the first of the Tanaim. And as Hakarat HaTov, what did Am Yisrael do to thank Alexander the Great? Remember? They started using his name. They started naming their children after him as a sign of gratitude for not killing them. So he enjoyed spending time with the Chachamim. Can you imagine a person of his stature and wealth and power and dominance hanging out with Chachmei Yisrael? And he asked them all sorts of questions and they gave him very, very deep intellectual answers. One of the questions that he asked Chachmei Yisrael was, Ma ya'aseh adam v'yichyeh? What shall a person do in order to live? That was the question. And the Gemara says that the Chachamim answered with two words. Yamit atzmo. Person should kill himself. Which means, at face value, they asked him, or he asked them, what should a person do to live? And they answered him, suicide is the answer. How does that make any sense? The Gemara doesn't elaborate anymore. There's a difference among the Rishonim how exactly to understand that. I once heard a pshat that will never leave me for as long as I live. And I want to share it with you because it was life-changing for me. And I think it will be for you especially under the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Rabotai, listen carefully. What the Chachamim meant to tell him was, Rabotai, historically, do you know Alexander the Great? What age did he pass away at? And from what? He's 32. And he passed away from? Huh? Not malaria. That was his Rebbe. Depression. The man died of depression at the age of 32. This is a guy that conquered the entire world, had all the money, all the power, all the any possible material pleasure that there was to have, he had. And the man died of depression. What did he ask the Chachamim? He meant to ask them, holy sages, what can a person do to live? He meant to ask them, I have everything, but I have nothing. I feel dead. I am depressed. And really, he was depressed, literally, to death. What can I do to remedy the situation? That was his question of the Chachamim. What did they answer him, Rabotai? Yamit atzmo. They meant to tell him, Your Highness, you know why you're so depressed? Because you're focusing on the wrong things in life. Everybody, Am Yisrael was endowed with a neshama. The goyim were not, but they have a nefesh. All living beings have some sort of a soul. And that soul has to be filled with different things. It has a tank that has to be filled with different gas than the body does, Rabotai. And they told him, every person in life has to make a list. Some people write it up, some people have a mental list, but everybody has to have this list. This list has two columns. Everything in life falls under one of these two columns. Willing to die for, not willing to die for. Now start filling out the list. Everything you have in this life falls under one of those two categories, without fail. Okay? Now start filling out that list. Everything you own and everything you have and everything you want, put in that list. Fill out the list. Okay? Let's start. Family, wife and children, which side? Willing to die for? Absolutely. Okay? How about Hashem? Sure. Am Yisrael, unfortunately, has a lot of history with people dying of Kiddush Hashem. What else? The Torah? Yeah? Sure. How about your car? I don't know. You decide. How about your house? Willing or not to die for? You have to take every material thing and every spiritual thing and put it in. Once you finish making that list, told the Chachamim to Alexander, now you start living. In this life, like David HaMelech said, we have 70, 80, 90, 120 years here. You want to know what to focus on? There's a lot of distractions. The Chachamim said, you got to walk around with this list in your pocket, or at least in front of your face, and think to yourself, where am I spending my time? If you're spending too much time on the things that you're not willing to die for that side of the list, you're better off dead. You're dead already. You're dead man walking. That's what happened to you, Alexander. You spend too much time on that stuff. And if that's the case, there's no reason for you to be here. You want to live? Focus on the list of the things that you would die for. Kadosh Baruch Hu, His Torah, your family. Do we spend enough time on those things? You want a feeling of living? You want to feel gratification in this world? Focus on that. Rabotai, I think if anybody doesn't have such a list after the coronavirus, especially now coming towards Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, I told my shul the other week, everybody changed somewhat as a result of the coronavirus. And those who have not will never change. If a person doesn't use this opportunity to prioritize his or her life, especially now when we know that our lives hang in the balance, Rabotai, Hashem sent a message to the world. Your money is worthless, and your assets are worthless, and your job is worthless, and your armies are worthless, and your doctors are worthless, and everything that you have is worthless. Ve'en lanu al mi leisha'en. Ela al avinu shebashamayim. Hashem says, by hook or by crook, Am Yisrael has to realize that there is no one that they can turn to in this world, and no one's going to save them besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And until we realize, once we realize that, the salvation's not going to be long in coming. That's the way it works. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot, שבשעת פטירתו של אדם, אין מלווין לו לא כסף ולא זהב ולא אבנים טובות ומרגליות, אלא תורה ומעשים טובים בלבד. When a person passes away, even the family, right? The family is crying. וזה, who does a person hold dearest in this world? His family. When was the last time you saw a family member jumping into the grave also? They kiss him goodbye. They put him in the ground. They bury him. He stays there. And they go home. And life goes on. Money goes to them. Everything else stays put. He moves on. The only thing that a person can look forward to taking to Olam HaEmet is the Torah Ma'asim Tovim. Without that, if a person doesn't have that, Lama Lanu Chaim? What's the purpose of life? Alexander the Great learned that the hard way, Rabotai. We're now T-minus a little bit under 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah. I'm talking to myself primarily. It's a time to recalibrate, prioritize our lives. When was the last time a person went to his wife and children and said, you know, I love you. You're precious to me. I'm glad to have you. When was the last time a person went to his Rebbe and said, thank you, Rebbe, for teaching me Torah. Without you, I don't know where I'd be. If I didn't have the tefillah and I didn't have the Torah, we'd be goners. These are the little gifts in life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to awaken us harshly in order to appreciate. That's where we're holding, Rabotai. When we do realize it, the Yeshua is very soon coming. We spoke of here in Tisha B'Av about living in Mashiach mode. This is the era of Mashiach. This is it. Living in Mashiach mode and recalibrating and prioritizing our lives go hand in hand. A person can't possibly live in Mashiach mode when he is surrounded and steeped in Olam Hazeh. That's the way it works, Rabotai. I wish all of you and all of Am Yisrael כתיבה וחתימה טובה שתזכו להיכתב ולהיחתם בספרן של צדיקים גמורים, תזכו לשם רבות נעימות וטובות בעזרת השם. You know, I should have started off by saying it, but Potchin Bichvod Achsenia, I'm honored and humbled to be part of such a, you know, an empire of Torah as SBM and the Meshari community is, you know, represents. I don't think, you know, for people that weren't around during the summer, words can't describe the growth that people gain just by walking through these doors. And I'm proud of my Talmidim, and I'm proud of anybody who takes part of it, and I feel privileged to be a part of it. And believe me, this and all of the other Torah going on in Great Neck, that is the greatest Kiddush Hashem that you can deposit in the bank and ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I am part of a Kehillah that honors and appreciates and learns Torah. Hashem, just because of that, I ask you for nothing else, not because of any other Zechut, but I'm part of such a Kehillah. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me one more year. Just one more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn away Torah. When Torah is the bargaining chip, Hashem says, deal. That's the way it works. So, keep coming. Keep supporting. Whether it's financial, moral, whatever kind of support you can give, I can assure you, it's all going to a good place. They're creating B'nei and B'not Torah. And that is an investment that only continues to grow and grow. Rabotai, and the parents, I see some parents over here, and some, you know, fathers, mothers, you should be proud of your children. Ashrechem v'ashrechel kechem. You have children who follow in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the path of Torah. Look around, see these young fellows. Where would you find, you know, what do other youngsters do on a Saturday night at 1 in the morning? Look at the youngsters of your Kehillah, Shem Yisrael. Come to learn Torah. Come to say Selichot, Mevakesh Mechila Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu, אשריכם ואשרי חלקכם, אשריכם בעולם הזה, וטוב לכם לעולם הבא, תזכו לשם רבות, נעימות וטוב.
Once again, thank you.